It's the Playhouse Podcast with Kat and JJ on demand, even if you're on the can.
Dude, come on.
Pretty safe to say we've all had at least a small dose of PTSD. So outside of like military combat, what is your PTSD story? Had some great ones this morning. That's coming up a little bit later on in the podcast. Here we go. Hi, Amber. How are you today?
Not too bad.
So big goings on in your son's life coming up here, right?
Correct.
Yeah, what's going on?
So on Monday, he will be having open heart surgery.
Wow.
How old is he?
Ooh. 4 months old.
How much?
4 months.
Oh my gosh, he's just a little guy. He doesn't even know what's going on right now.
Yeah, so he has a congenital heart defect that's getting repaired, and obviously I'm nervous.
All right, Kim, what do you see coming up for Amber's son here?
Ooh, that one's really tough. I want to cry for you, so I'm sorry you're going through that. Everything's going to be fine, but I do hear hiccups. So when I hear hiccups, that means they're not bad things. It's just, it's not as smooth as what you would hoped. But he, on the other hand, is a little fighter. He is a massive little fighter, so he'll be fine. I just want to cry. Keep sending prayers. I feel like I'm seeing Facebook, Instagram, all that. Keep posting prayers. If you ever use TikTok, go on there and actually put a little story, post prayers, because you guys can use all the prayers. Everything's going to be fine. He is perfectly going to be fine, but I do hear hiccups. So people send prayers to them, please.
Do you think that, you know, when little babies go into surgery or young kids have to be put under anesthesia, I mean, it does a lot to a parent. You know, your mind goes so many places, but it sounds like he's going to be in really good hands. So if you can control that mind of yours and just try to stay busy with whatever during the surgery, it sounds like it's going to be successful. So that's great.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Hang in there, Amber. Prayers for you and your little guy. We appreciate you joining us. Sandy is with us as well. Sandy, looking forward to some memorable moments, huh?
Yes. Yeah. I'm wondering if I have any memorable moments in my future.
Like, what's memorable for you? A great cheeseburger or a trip to Taiwan? You know what I mean? Is that what level are we looking at here?
You know, if I could go back to eating normal food again or what I love to eat, that would be wonderful. But I already know that's not in my future.
All right, Kim, what do you see? What do you see in her future here? What's going on?
I honestly get pulled to family and just those taking the little memories, say of going to a cabin or going to a beach, you know, or coming together, see, even playing cards. So all these images are about taking those little things we think are very little and actually being in the moment. They said that's more important to you to be in the moment than it is to think of extravagant trips or experiences. The experiences that you're looking for are right in front of you. So I'm getting pulled to say I'm sitting down playing cards with my family and really embracing that. They're like, those are your memorable moments. Laughing, joyfulness. They said that's the piece that you hold on to.
So not necessarily like going to the International Space Station. It's more of like, you know, some cribbage on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right, Sandy?
Sounds like me. I'm all about family. I love it. Thank
you. Well, those are the good moments. Don't let them pass by.
Hi. I'm doing okay.
So, last month has been a little bit rough on you, right? Is that what you said earlier?
Yeah. First, my father was in the hospital, and then my son was in the hospital the week following, and then now we just had to make the decision to put my dog down tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
And I just feel like I can't catch a break.
So you're kind of hoping maybe there's some light at the end of the tunnel here. Maybe things are going to get better anytime soon. Is that what you're hoping Kim will tell you?
Yeah, and I guess this is technically a second question. If I'm making the right decision about my dog, I don't know.
All right, Kim, let's start with the dog. Do you feel anything there?
Dogs are like our family. That's a very, very hard decision. Yeah, it's time. I just Man, everybody wants to make me cry today.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's time. Things come in three, so that's kind of what I was hearing right away. There's three things. These are the three major things, three major grieving things. So it's kind of like once you get through the grieving process of all this stuff, it'll get better. But this is honestly, unfortunately, life. Things are going to come up in life, and we have to learn how to grieve through these things. It doesn't mean we don't grieve. It's more, yes, we get sad. There's going to be things coming up in life. But when it comes to your dog, I see like a little like urn type thing, and I just want to cry again. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's definitely time.
Okay.
And it's nothing bad. It's nothing bad. Man,
no, I'm trying.
I'm trying to get more specific on this dog, but I'm getting pulled away, and I don't know if it's because of everybody else's energies I'm starting to feel from all the other calls that are waiting. But I keep hearing for you, third. This is the third. It's going to get better after the third.
So. That's great news.
Okay.
How's Dad doing, by the way?
He said he was
in the hospital. Is he doing better now?
Yeah, he's naughty. He's a guy. The alcoholic that has diabetes, and he wasn't taking care of it. So
okay, so back on the right track.
But that was so stressful because he lives 3.5 hours away, so I had to leave for a week.
There are always those older men that are like, if I'm going to go, I'm going to go happy, you know? And it's tough when they're that far away.
Oh, my gosh. He was so grabby. I was like, I need to go home.
And then you go home to your dog needing to,
Well, blue skies ahead, really.
Hang in there. You got to get through it, and it's okay to grieve a little bit, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. I hope you have a better day today. Nicole has been waiting for a while. Hi, Nikki. How you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Good. We chatted a little quick before we got on the air with you, and your husband is coming home from a stay away in how many weeks?
About 2.5.
All right, so that's exciting times, but you got a little bit of a hiccup in your life, huh?
Yes, our landlord is trying to sell the property, which he said if we could get a loan, we could buy it. But in talking to them, we probably wouldn't be able to buy it for like 6 more months just to have a larger down payment.
Okay.
And so he did say if he was going to sell it, he'd sell it to an investor. But, you know, being up in the air with a housing situation when you finally just got stable is nerve-wracking.
So what's your question for Kim then?
Are we going to be able to stay in this house for about another year or until we can get a mortgage in 6 months?
I can see the possibility of the mortgage in 6 months. I can see that, but I do feel you're going to, I hear wheel and deal with the owner. You need to show or prove to them that you are willing to do this. So I don't know if that means giving him a little extra money or something, but they're saying you have to prove to him that you're ready. I don't know if you need to sign something saying, hey, this is what we're going to do. If we don't do this, then XYZ happens. But they're saying you have to prove to him or wheel and deal with him, and you can get that mortgage. If you're not willing to, I hear, negotiate something in the in-between time, then I see you guys moving. So you have a choice in this option, but I do feel like it's going to be a little bit of roughness if you continue to stay. If you go through the work, do some wheeling and dealing, it will turn out in your favor long term. But in the next few months, I hear 8 months, the next 8 months are going to be a little bit nerve-wracking. I want to pull my hair out. And I'm like, oh, is this going to work? Is this going to work? It can if you do the proper wheeling and dealing. Or you can choose to say, you know what, he's not willing to wheel and deal, or I'm not willing to budge. Let it go. Then you guys move. And it's going to take a lot longer to get a mortgage then.
I'm naming the podcast today Wheeling and Dealing, by the way.
Nice.
I think it's ironic that Whitney is over here on line four ready to play our Falling Down the Stairs game.
Weird.
What's going on in your life this morning, Whitney?
Well, you know, I figured it was a good match for me because that is actually what I sound like going down the stairs, but I'm on my way to work.
When's the last time you fell?
Oh, gosh. It had to have been during this past winter when I was penguin walking through the parking lot after our March snowfall.
Yeah.
Kat came in one morning and said, did you see the tracks underneath my car? And I said, no, what happened? And she was telling me about where, I don't know if you, did you just hit the black ice and you almost slid under your car?
No, I was up and I always park next to a curb. And so I was walking on the curb to try to just hop into my car to avoid getting snow. And I just went boom, and my entire torso, like all my legs, both my legs and my torso under the car. I had to pull myself out. Like I was changing my oil. I had to pull myself out.
I would give blood for a month straight if I could have just seen that. If I would have had that on film, that would have been great. All right. Well, Whitney, we got all of this really sweet swag that just came in for the summer, and I want to make sure you get hooked up and you're looking fly. I have three more celebrities other than Whitney Houston that have fallen down the stairs. As a matter of fact, I'll give you just two of them, and if you can get them both right, you just got to tell me who's fallen down the stairs, and I'll make sure you win. How's that?
I will try my best. Sounds
right.
Good.
This celebrity once fell down the stairs. We had a microphone there. Tell me who the celebrity is.
God, I hope he's okay.
That would be Michael Jackson.
Hey!
Come on.
All right, this one might be a little bit tougher. Whitney, which celebrity just fell down our stairs the other day when he was visiting our studio?
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. I was hoping you were going to play James Brown, I Feel Good, but I will guess.
Here, listen to it one more time here.
Ragdoll.
I really don't know. Bummer.
Yeah, who is that?
That is Aerosmith's Steven Tyler.
Yeah, Steven Tyler.
I
got one more, and I want you to, if you can get this, I'll still make you a winner. And the theme today is all like rock musicians. All right, so remember rock musician. And which celebrity did we catch falling down the stairs?
Oh, man.
This one's tough.
Oh, man. Bon Jovi?
Okay, I'm going to pretend you didn't guess that, and I'm going to give you one more hint as we play it one more time.
I think I might have it.
Not Hagar, but...
Licking the microphone.
Oh, gosh. I really don't know. I suck at rock era.
Wedding singer?
Any chance you know who the lead singer of Van Halen is?
No, I don't.
You don't know who the lead singer of...
I was born in 90. I'm not good at this.
Oh, gross. You're born in the 90s.
If you say David Lee Roth right now, I'll make you a winner.
Just say David Lee Roth.
Just say David Lee Roth.
David Lee Roth.
Let's go. How's Kat?
I am wunderbar. Had a good day yesterday.
Yeah.
Did some pickleballing.
No way.
You're in? A freaking blast. Oh my God. I did not know.
We lost her, guys.
How slow paced and fun it is, and how nice it is to whoop the ass of 11 year old boys by moms. Oh my God. It was so fun.
Moms versus kids.
Yeah, it was great. And it was an in-your-face, you know, like we didn't win gracefully, and we just kept talking about it. Then they made that like almost cry face, and then we backed off a little bit.
So it was teams. How much do you think you dominated versus your partner?
So I think our skill level was equal. She had never played. I had never played. And I feel really bad. I told my friend Melissa, who has a pickleball court at her home.
Jesus.
And she always, like, throughout the summer, hosts little tournaments where it's, like, margaritas and pickleball. And it's, like, I've always said, I'll come for the margaritas. I'm not going to play dumb pickleball. And so I texted her, and I had to apologize because I was like, listen, I'm in for it. Let us know. So it was so fun.
This is so weird. This has come full circle. Pickleball isn't new. I played pickleball in seventh grade gym
class. I know it's not new, but it was like that huge craze. And then I was like, losers, all these hipster weirdos. Then my mother-in-law got into it. And I'm like, well, she could do it. But then when Kylie called me or texted me and she goes, hey, you want to play the boys after school? And I'm like, yeah, I do. Let's do it. And it was great exercise. We worked up a sweat. And yeah. I YouTubed the rules before I started.
Smart.
Super easy. and quick to pick up.
Will this be something that you develop into a habit now?
Yeah, or? We want to do it like once a week, have the boys walk across the street from school and meet us over there. So
this is fun.
It was so fun. I really, really enjoyed it. So well, had that and a meeting and blah.
On my 25th anniversary, I lost my wedding ring.
That's got to be something.
Actually, it broke off. So I have my original wedding ring, but what had happened over the years is when I would go to the gym and it would break on the bottom.
Yeah.
And I had that thing re-soldered together 10 times before I switched to the silicone ring.
Yeah.
And it was so ironic. My daughter and I are taking a load of furniture and stuff to our new place, and I'm unloading it, and all of a sudden I look down, and my silicone band had broken or gotten ripped, and it was just laying there on the ground. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And my daughter's freaking out. She goes, it's your anniversary. This can't be a good sign.
This is totally a sign. What is that about?
And then, okay, so I thought it was a sign too, right?
Okay.
So gracefully, I give my wife her gift. And
which was what?
I got her a diamond necklace. And and she really, really loved it, which is great. And she, it's so weird because about November, she took a new job and now she goes into work. She doesn't just sit at her computer in her jammies anymore. And so I thought, well, this will go with anything. And she enjoyed it. And after baseball practice last night, I took one more trip to the new house and unloaded a bunch of stuff with my wife. And I'm like, I really feel bad about my wedding ring breaking. And I had bought like six silicone bands because you can get them for like $3 on Amazon, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know where the rest of them are because everything we own is in a box in storage somewhere.
Oh, my God. That's an even bigger sign.
Until this morning, I get out of the shower. And I've got these big plastic bins in our bathroom as I'm kind of packing up the clothes I don't think I'm going to wear for the next week.
Yeah.
And suddenly there's the bag of rings.
Weird.
I know. And I couldn't have told you where it was. And it was right there. And so I got a new one on. And so I feel like a newly married man. Let's go.
Bingo. How fun.
Last week, someone lost an eye at bingo.
Bingo.
Bingo. What bingo?
Bingo.
Bingo. All right. So this morning, and you can't call yet. You got to hear us both out first, please. We're looking for the first caller that fits one of the following scenarios. And you get to tell your story. Maybe you're somebody listening who...
who has had a family member that was scammed. I mean, that's got to be so hard to watch. And there's a new movie, and I would love to take my grandparents to it. I think you should take the older people in your life to go see it. It is the 94-year-old hero. Here's the promo here.
Hello?
Grandma.
Danny? You sound so strange.
I'm in jail.
Oh, my God.
Mail $10,000 to this address.
$10,000?
How did you think this was real?
They contact people at random using telephone listings and social networking sites.
Like Facebook?
Sure, by Facebook.
Well, shouldn't Zuckerberg be able to fix this?
I'm going to get it back.
We all have our good days and our bad days.
And what's today?
We'll find out.
Ooh, grandma's going to get even.
Yeah, so she went all around her house, which a good grandma would, but now we have AI, and the AI could sound just like your grandkid.
Danny?
Danny, I need some help. So you have a loved one that was scammed.
Okay. My godmother, rest her soul, was scammed out of almost every single penny she owned before she died by a religious cult.
That is awful.
In Ames, Iowa.
Oh, my God. Of course, they exist
in the Midwest. I'm going to go looking for anyone listening who is currently sporting a very visual injury.
Okay.
I got hit in the head by a batted ball the other night in the batting cage, and I didn't realize till this morning. I walked around all day yesterday with this giant egg on my head, and I thought I had a tumor for a while.
Yeah.
And it hurts so much to the touch, and then about 7 o'clock this morning, I looked at Kat and go, oh, I remember, because I keep touching it. It's so big.
But the fact that you had no way of tracing it back to what could have happened, and then when you described what did happen and how it got there, I'm like, that is a pretty notable incident.
It drilled me in the head. It went off the top of the batting cage and then hit me right in the skull, and I still have a giant egg on there right now. So I'm looking for anyone listening who, if we saw you, we could see a very visible injury. Kat's got anyone listening who...
who has ever had a loved one that was scammed.
Morning. Welcome into the Playhouse. It's Kat and JJ. So I think a lot of people know my side hustle is after the show gets done, in the fall I coach football, and in the spring I coach high school baseball. And we were at practice yesterday, and we were just kind of doing ins and outs, and everybody was taking batting practice. And I was just out there with the boys fielding, and kid hit kind of a hard ball towards me, and I'm the only one out there without a cup on. Mm-hmm. So I kind of, whoa, hey, Olay'd it, because I didn't want to take one in the noogies. And one of the kids goes, what, you got some PTSD there, coach? And I said, I absolutely do. So when I was 13, I was playing third base, hard hit ball. I pitched like four innings before, move over to third base. First ball at me hits the lip of the grass and catches me right straight in the junk. Right. Dropped me right there. My dad walks out and he goes, are you not wearing a cup? And I go, no. And then he just walks away.
Yeah.
Like he didn't want anything to do with me. Smart umpire has me sit up, holds me up underneath my armpits, and then drops me on my butt. And what it does, it radiates the pain away.
So I saw that this past basketball season, my son landed down and caught a knee to his cojones. And then I saw him, his coach said, do a couple of these guys.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is he even doing over there?
And I realized since then, I've got PTSD of getting hit in the junk. And I thought, everybody probably has at least something that they have PTSD about. Outside of military combat, Kat, what would you have PTSD about? What was the first thing that popped in your mind?
So I did feel it. I don't have any... I hate using PTSD because I know it's reserved for people like sexual assault or abuse.
Not always if you just have any kind of trauma.
I would think when I had my stoma, like from my crap bag, it was something that I felt. I was watching a Tosh.0 and he had this girl on that did tutorials on YouTube, and she did a tutorial on how to change your bag. And I felt a certain way when I saw her doing it and making fun of it. And I'm like, listen, I used humor to get through it or you will cry. But then also I thought maybe I didn't deal with this because it all happened so fast.
Yeah.
And then you have a newborn baby in the mix. You are just kind of surviving that first year, trying to get through the process of the three surgeries, being away from my baby for, I don't know, probably a total of 3 months out of his first year of his life. So that was kind of traumatic, I think. And then I felt a certain way when I saw her stoma. I was like, maybe I haven't dealt with something. So that would have been it.
Don, PTSD from what?
In 2001, we lost our house to fire.
Oh, I can only imagine that anytime you see a campfire or a hot stove right now, you're freaking out.
No, not that so much. It's pretty much past by now, that part of it. But there's still a lot of memories that come by about what all happened.
And maybe what could have happened. That would be... on my mind, what could have happened? You know, if this didn't happen, we could have died or a loved one could have, you know, gotten maimed by the flames. JJ's house or his car went up in flames one night. And your son, Peyton, had a little bit of it. Like he, anytime a candle was lit, he would keep an eye on it. And so that's a real thing.
It is. Absolutely is.
Thanks for checking in. Brooklyn, how about yours? You have a shade of PTSD from what?
So I got in a car accident in February of this year. And since then, I've been very, a much more cautious driver, I guess.
Break down how it went down. Like, was it your fault or did you leave a...
No,
red light.
It was ice.
Oh, ice.
It was really, really early in the morning on my way to work, and I just hit ice just right and rolled the car four times.
God, four times it rolled over?
Yeah, I sent you guys pictures, too, so you could look at it.
Oh, but, yeah, let me check those out. That's crazy. I had an intern when I worked in Fargo, and she hit black ice on her way in one morning, and she said, driving totally normal. It looked like any other part of, like, tar on highway. And then, boom, your whole car just loses control.
Were you hurt, Brooklyn?
I actually got out very well. So I just had some torn ligaments and wore a sling for 2 months. I did have to crawl out of the car, but I did get out very, it
safe
was
to
very
say,
lucky.
Other than chatting with us, you're the safest driver on the road now? This one got really, really heavy, too. John said, my childhood... several of my mom's boyfriends tried to strangle me to death in my sleep.
I can't imagine how that would affect your sleep every single night.
That's heavy. Back during our last commercial break, and Henry's on line three, he had called and he said, I know this is like a little impromptu, but I know you guys do a lot of kind of group therapy segments. We call ours OPP for other people's problems. And he's like, I know this is kind of all of a sudden, but he started telling us about like one of his better friends and the way he's treating his new relationship. So real quick, we got a couple of seconds I want to spend on this. Tell us about your friend first.
Yes. I mean, we've been friends forever, right? Like through college, whatever. And just like things have been really good. I kept in touch through the years. And like, so right now I'm dating this new girl, right? And I don't know like what his deal is, but he just keeps saying like, hey man, like you could totally do way better. You know, like
that's not nice.
There's so many other girls out there. Right. Right. And we've hung out a number of times, like all of us together.
Yeah.
And I'm really just worried that like, you know, somehow she's going to hear like what he's saying or somehow catch wind of this. And like, then I'm kind of stuck between two people.
Does she ever say anything about him? Did something happen where one of them made the other one mad or
Like a fallout?
No, and that's what's weird about it. Like I just when we hang out, we all get along together, like we're all having fun, you know, good time. And then just, you know, separately when I'm not with her and I'm with him, that's when he's like saying this stuff.
That would very much upset me. Like you're attracted to this girl, you have a lot of fun with her. You can see yourself with her for a while, and he keeps saying that.
It's wearing away at everything, you know what I mean?
Have you ever seen Love Actually? That kind of sounds like that, where the guy was like so madly in love with the girl that his friend was with. You don't think that's the case?
I mean, that's possible. And what's just hard about it, just like I've been friends with him for so long. I have such a long history with him.
Yeah.
But then I'm really into this new girl.
See, and I'm going to put you on hold for half a second here because I understand exactly where this is coming from because my wife and I just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary and her mom called her last night and said, you can still do better. And I was like, yeah, you know, she's not wrong. But, you know, you're kind of invested in this one. How would you feel if you were the girlfriend and you overheard that?
Yeah, that would be heartbreaking to know that my boyfriend is being told that. And then is that going to infiltrate his mind and get him to start thinking, hey, wait, I could do better. I think it's just really rude to say it to somebody.
But some people have some conspiracy theories.
Yeah, but how is he looking out for her best interest? If you have something on a friend's significant other that you know this person is doing damaging things behind your friend's back, then that's your duty to tell them.
Gotta be specific, huh?
But you do, or else you look like how all these texters are saying this guy looks. It says, actually, I had a similar thing happen to me. I had an old friend that said that my girlfriend, that I could do better. Realistically, he wanted to be with her. And then it says, it seems like he knows something about this girl that you don't know.
Right, that's where my head went right away.
Jacob says, maybe his friend is actually in love with him and is jealous. Oh, you think it's like a guy being in love with Henry.
Oh, your friend.
Oh, that's a weird take on it. I would never go
there. I saw that one coming.
But I just think if you're saying it to be mean because maybe she isn't like good looking enough or smart enough, then that is not a good friend right there. If you have something that is really great with this person, they should just be happy.
Would you say this to your sister?
If it was a jerk and there were like so many signs.
But she really likes him. She really likes him. But you can tell behind the scenes that this guy is a douchebag.
Would you say
you can do better?
I would need it. And I would give a reason. I would never say you could do better just because of how someone looked. There has to be a lot of things that are in play that would harm my sister.
I wouldn't even do this to one of my kids because it's not my business.
Your kids are your business.
But their relationships aren't my business.
So if your daughter was dating a guy and you knew that he was crap.
If I knew he was crap, like if I knew he was abusive,
that's the thing.
But if I would never leave it vague and just go, Reagan, you can do better. I would never do that.
No one should. I'm saying if you know something, you should pair it with,
but we don't
you
know
can
anything
do better yet. Because he treats you this way or she treats you this way.
That I get. But unless you have something specific, this is just kind of really just too vague
for me. I would probe, Henry. I would ask, why do you keep saying this? You need to tell me why. If there's no reason why, you need to stop saying this because if she hears it, it's going to make her feel sad.
Listen, if it's got to the point where he called us, it's already wearing on him.
I agree.
Can you help me? Can you help me?
Kind of on a truncated timetable, but I wanted to bring Vanessa on the show because I think it's something you might be able to help her out with, especially if you really value your time and your money and the time you get to spend with your family. So will you tell everybody what's going on here?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I have a good friend. Our kids are similar ages, and she wants to plan another family vacation, like, together.
Okay.
And we did this before, and her kids are absolutely insane. My anxiety, I was worried the whole time. It was just crazy. Like, people were looking at us. They're running around. They're just doing whatever. There's no control.
Yeah.
And I felt like I needed a vacation after that vacation.
Oh, that
like,
is never so fun.
Right. I was exhausted. She had a blast.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
Now she's going to meet for wine and discuss, you know, our next trip. And it's like the last thing I want to do is vacation with this family. I love my friend. We have so much fun together. But like I said, our kids are crazy.
You know, I always find blaming it on money is the best route to go. Not that you have money issues, but maybe, you know, you're saving up for something different in life and just say, oh, a vacation isn't in our cards this year. But you guys, you plan, you have a great time and just blame it on that. You know, everybody is in that spot where money is tight. And so to say, not for us this year, but let's definitely revisit it for next year. And hopefully she forgets. But I mean, that's so horrible that you spent money on your family's vacation and you ended up feeling that way.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and my kids are super well behaved, you know, they're difficult, but even with her family, I feel like her kids were kind of bad influences on my children. And I just don't want to deal with that on vacation.
Why, Vanessa, hang on a quick second. Kat, why won't you just straight up tell her the truth?
Because it's still your friend. You can still have a great relationship and just not go on vacation.
So you're telling me you have to lie to your friends?
Sometimes you do.
No.
Yep.
I didn't have fun with you.
I'm a big believer in lying to save someone's heartache. She doesn't need to know that her kids are just like terribly poorly behaved.
In 3 weeks, I'm going on vacation with friends. And if I don't have a great time and they say they want to do it again, I'm just going to go, no, I didn't have that much fun.
You wouldn't just say, no, we don't have that time available. Or
why
would
you be
honest?
Not
spending money right now.
Why do you have to lie to people?
I don't know.
Why can't you just tell somebody I didn't have fun with you? I'd like to not go on a forced vacation with you. Why are we at that point?
Because when you involve how you feel someone else's children behave, then it could be a slippery slope.
You don't have to hammer on their kids. You could just say, I didn't have that much fun.
She likes her as a friend. This could put your friendship in a compromised position. We are going on a vacation with a couple of family friends, sports families, in January. And I chose them carefully because I don't want to be in a bad spot. Both of these families, we have so much in common. We have a lot of fun together. And it's going to be really chill. But it does not sound like they need to be traveling together.
You guys heard what's going down in Vanessa's life. How would you handle this? Would you lie to her? Or would you just be straight up honest and be like, I don't want to be around your devil children?
So I saw the latest and greatest. So I'm going to lift the curtain a little bit. When I wake up, my alarm goes off. I barely make it to the bathroom because I'm so tired. I hit both sides of the door. I get to the toilet and I go potty before I hop in the shower, okay? And when I'm sitting there, my eyes are still closed. So I don't even know what's up from down. And Derek always finds his way in there to kiss me while I'm going pee every single morning. And I love him so much, but sometimes it's a lot to be all up in this. And he goes, you have to watch this trailer. So he handed me the phone to watch the trailer for the new M. Night Shyamalan creation.
So let me get this right, just so I can picture this.
Yeah, close your eyes.
Jammies around your ankles.
Yeah,
you're on the toilet. He hands you his phone to ask you to watch a trailer for the new M. Night Shyamalan.
Every morning. Could be something new, dumb a political candidate said, or like a funny SNL skit. But I will always, because he's always up like 40 minutes before me, just sitting on the couch, relaxing.
Just waiting for the hurricane.
His body wakes him up. He uses the restroom and then he sits down there and just scrolls and finds funny stuff to wake me up with. But this one, have you seen the promo for the movie Trap?
Is this M. Night Shyamalan's kid that wrote it? Am I remembering this right?
With Josh Hartnett? He wrote this?
I think so. I think he wrote it and then his old man has produced it, if I'm right.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a talent. So the concept is this dad brings his daughter to Lady Raven, this concert, and all these people are there. Thousands of people are there to watch Lady Raven. And then Josh Hartnett, the dad's like, I'm going to run to the bathroom before the show gets started. And she's like, okay. And so he walks out into the mezzanine. He sees that there are like tons of police presence. He sees that there are like SWAT vehicles outside of the windows, outside the venue. And he says to the merch guy, he goes, "Hey, what's the deal with all this police presence, you know?" And the guy's like, "I'm not supposed to tell." And he goes, "Well, just say it." And he said that there's a guy that's known as like Slaughter Sam or something. And they created this concert because he's a huge Lady Raven fan.
They're trying to trap him.
To lure him in. And they're not letting anybody out of this building until they find him inside. And Josh Hartnett is Slaughter Sam.
Oh.
So he finds out, he goes to the restroom and he looks at his camera and he has like a security camera on somebody that he's holding captive back at home. So he's like, "I wonder if this guy got out." So if they're only showing that part, can you imagine how good this movie is going to be? So I'm excited. I can't talk movies with you because you're a loser and you never see movies. You need to.
I haven't seen a movie inside a movie theater since before
so
the pandemic. There's been several movies that I've been like, I got to get to go to see this. Then I'm like, I don't have any time. I don't have a spare 90 minutes in my life to go see a movie. If you just had pizza for you, Derek, and Liam, what would that bill be?
I would say like $17 for like a large
pizza,
probably an extra large.
I remember when I was in college. We would call, Domino's had a big deal for anyone on campus, and it was a $5 medium.
Okay.
Always a $5 medium, which I think it still is in some areas, but we would get 4 or 5 pizzas. Mm-hmm. Guys would be sitting around the dorm, stuff like that, or maybe you're studying, you need to take a little break. But I found the most expensive pizzas are in New York City. The average person for a large pizza will pay almost just a shade under $30.
Yeah, but is that like the Luminati's pizza where it's the layers upon layers? Or is this a big New York pizza?
Just
or
a
what?
Pizza. Your normal, average, run-of-the-mill, crappy, large pizza is $30.
There's
Chicago's
no
right behind
pizza
them.
In New York. I'm sorry. Even the worst pizza that they say don't eat is amazing.
Richmond, Virginia will have the cheapest pizza at a shade under $15. But if you were to just go out and have a pizza, you would expect, if you guys, all three of you, went out to dinner and had pizza, maybe you have a beer, Derek has a soda, Liam has a juice or a soda, that bill's $50, right?
I would hope not. For a pizza and 3 drinks?
I figure that every time, if my family ever gets together and my kids aren't away at college and we're going to go eat somewhere, I figure at a bare minimum with tip, it's $100.
God. Just solidifying.
My wife, wife and my daughter are absolute appetizer snobs.
Yeah.
They
I love
have
a good
to
app.
Have some appetizers where I can just sit there. And I mean, that's like if Trish and I each have a beer, the kids are having soda, and we get meals. It's $100.
You know, I always say stuff like, "Hey, let's go get a few apps at the golf course." But Derek has to have his own meal. He likes to know that something that belongs to just him is coming to the table. And
he's got control issues.
I think so. And I love the idea. Just going to get 3 different appetizers. Just pick and eat. And it doesn't. He'll never do that.